Okay, Parashas Chayetzar, the first thing, let's start with a short var. The first var I want to begin with is the Avraham Zakein Ba Bayamim in the Parash of Shaduchim. Avraham takes Eliezer and he tells Eliezer, I want you to swear. I don't trust you. I don't trust you. I want you to swear. And the halacha is when a person swears, you are mechuyev to take hold of a chefet shel mitzvah. In Bezdin, they would take out the Sefer Torah. And when a person's chayv ashur, you would hold the Sefer Torah, hold tefillin, hold an object, a chumash, something of a mitzvah. Which mitzvah object did Avraham select? Well, I guess they did not have at those times Sefer Torah, the milah. He told him to take hold of his milah. It doesn't necessarily mean that he touched the milah. It means he held his hip. He touched his leg, which was close enough to touching the milah. And through the mitzvah of milah, he would swear that he would be faithful in his mission, mainly not to take a girl from the local, from the Canaan, but to go back and take a girl from Ur Kasdim. So the question is, why milah? Why specifically the mitzvah of milah? Even though it was before Matan Torah, it was probably not so easy to find the chayv shel mitzvah, maybe there are other objects that could have been substituted. So Rashi tells us a similar interpretation, because milah came through Avram through Tsar. Avram was an adult when he had this circumcision, and in those days there was not all the high-tech anesthesia, local anesthesia, and all these things. It was a painful mitzvah. It was with great mysterious nefesh, and people of the generation mocked him. He had a question, should he do it? Honor Eshkol Mamre. There was a great degree of mesiras nefesh that Avraham expressed through Bris Milah, and that's why it was chaviv to be used as the mitzvah object for Eliezer. I want to say a drush, another reason why Avraham took the Bris Milah. This begins the parasha of Shaduchim. When does a person first begin to think about a shidduch for his child? At the bris, pashat. Why? Kishem shenichnas lebris ken yikanes letoira ulechupa ulemasim tov. And you know, it's serious business. When you give a bracha, people make a kiddush, they make a bracha. It's very, when you give a bracha to a person, you can't hold Hashem hostage. In other words, I need a bracha. When do you need it by? Now. I need it now. I can't give it to you now. I can't shake up the whole world. You gotta give me some time. The world operates derech teva. You need some time. Give me a couple of years. I'll make things work out in a way where you'll be in the right place at the right time, and things will work out, and you'll discover each other. You'll get the right job, you'll get the right parnasa. When you give a person a bracha, many times the bracha is not fulfilled for years. And the bracha is all, a special hashgacha pratis, but there's something to it. There's something about giving a bracha way in advance. It's much easier for Hashem to fulfill the will of a tzaddik who gives a bracha when you don't hold Hashem hostage to demand the bracha should come about in supernatural ways right away, in 5 minutes, in 5 days. All of a sudden, the person won the lottery. All of a sudden, the most bizarre thing happened, and the person became a multimillionaire and was able to pay for all of his chayvos. That's not normal. When you give a person the bracha is, you should make the right decisions in life and go the right way, and there'll be hashgacha pratis, and everything in life will work out. The best and most powerful brachas that a person can have is when they're made in a person's youth, when a person is very young, because then HaKadosh, giving HaKadosh Baruch Hu time to al pi derech hateva for things to work out and the person to succeed.
But how does Yeshua Hashem clarify it?
That's also true. Hashem is not limited, but it's harder. You need much more zechusim. You need a much greater bracha, much greater caliber. Of course, Hashem is not limited. There's nothing that Hashem can't do. But there is teva, and then there are nisim. There are miracles. You can't expect miracles to happen every single day. Miracles do happen for the right people at the right time. But when every person that gives a bracha, there's something to a bracha. You can't deny that. And the more room you give a Kadosh Baruch Hu to fulfill the bracha, the more likely it is that the bracha will be fulfilled. We give a bracha to Chag, Hashem, people are just saying over there, Hashem, just the bris, can you come? And people just mumble the words. That's a very, very sad thing. Perhaps if people at the bris with kavana would say with kavana, real kavana, you know, this kid's 8 days old, he has a long way to go until Shaduchim, 22 years, 23 years, whatever it is. and you say, I give you a bracha, shem shnichnas lebriskin yikonis letoiru, and you say with sincerity, and a person, even the average person, has tremendous chusim. There's a long way to go. And there are a lot of stop signs, a lot of detours, a lot of things can go wrong in a person's life where he won't meet his bashert, or he won't be zochet to be the Talmud Chacham that he could have been, all because of some stupid thing that happened one day, because he was in cheder, and the Rebbe made a joke, and he got upset, and then one thing led to another. Before he turned around, he finds himself in the wrong place, and everything goes down the drain. Had there just been a little simple siyata d'shmaya at that point in time when he was 11 years old, it would have been a whole different world. We all know stories like this. And they're such simple little things. If a person at the very beginning gives a sincere bracha, shem shnichnas lebriska yikonis l'toyel chubal masam tovim, there's something to it. There's definitely something. Yeah.
Sorry. Does anybody have a car that's blocking the driveway?
Does anyone have a car blocking the driveway? What kind of car?
Okay.
Okay. Now that's not the real point I want to make. The point I want to make, that's not an idea. I think it's the same story with the stipler. Their Chaim Kanev said it's not true. There's a craze today out there where a girl who's having a hard time with a shidduch, she makes a kiddush. Why? Because it's customary when a girl is born, you make a kiddush. Why you make a kiddush? What's the reason why you make a kiddush? For this very reason. When a girl is born, you make a kiddush, people come over to the house. Why? They give you a bracha. The reason why you want to make a kiddush, not because you want to socialize. You're paying them off. Please come to the house. I'll give you something good to eat, some good shalom, some good cake, and you'll give me a sincere bracha that my daughter should have a successful life, which includes shidduchim, parnasa, good health, everything that is necessary. And if you give a bracha to a person when a baby, you know, those brachas are the most powerful brachas, because you're not holding Hashem hostage that it should be filled right now. So not everyone 25 years ago, and not every girl had a kiddush when they were born. So a girl fired, there was a story, I'm sure you've heard this story, there was a story that a person had a hard time, so they went to the stipler. And the stipler asked the father, did you make a kiddush when the girl was born? He said, no, I didn't make a kiddush. That's why you're having a hard time, because there was no kiddush, no one gave you the brachas, and that's why you're having a hard time now. So make a kiddush now, and a miracle happened. So it became a craze in the whole world that girls were having a hard time, shidduchim, should go make a kiddushim when they're 25 years old, they get brachas, it's chus. So it really got out of hand. They went to Rav Chaim Knievsky, the stipler's son, and they asked him, is this story true? He said, sheker v'chosa. This story is a baba ma'isa. No such thing. It's a mishagas. There's no such thing of making a kiddush when you're 25 years old as a schooler. The concept is true. The concept is definitely true. There's no question about it. A child is born, you make a kiddush, you ask people to give the child a bracha. That's a serious business. But now, 25 years later, to go make a kiddush and you're gonna rewrite history, that's total nonsense. Okay, fine. But to make a craze, adarabba, to make a craze about it, I once went to a kiddush, someone had a baby, someone had a grandchild. And he also had a daughter that's in shidduchim. And the girl was, I don't know, 20 years old, a young girl in shidduchim, and there were cards on the table that said, there are people out there who claim that our daughter did not have a kiddush when she was born, the grandchild. And therefore this kiddush is being made in honor of both the granddaughter and also in honor of our daughter. I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, I said, this is already a little bit too far. This is already going to putting out cards, embarrassing the girl. I mean, what is this all about? All right, but the idea is definitely true.
Kiddush by your side.
That's the neshama, you make a bracha. That's a different kiddush. That's a different. The neshama is there. That you make a kiddush, that the people at the kiddush should make a bracha. You make they that otherwise would not have made. They're on a diet. They're not going to be eating schnapps and cake. What? And they give you a bracha as well. That's another inyan. But the main reason you make a kiddush is not for you, not to give you a bracha. The main reason you give a kiddush is they should make a bracha that they would otherwise not have made. And therefore, if you just mumble the bracha, a person comes to a tikkun, and you chop the schnapps and the cake, you're a ganf. You're a ganef, not just from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're a ganef from the person, because the only reason why he's making this tikkun for you to give you a piece of cake and to give you something, some fish or some whatever he's giving you, is that you should make a bracha with kavana, and the credit for that bracha to be makar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Shehakol Nieh Bidvaro, that hakara should be a zechus for the neshama. That's the purpose of making a tikkun. What about you, the Baal HaBayis? You should be fasting. You're not supposed to be eating. You're supposed to be fasting on that day. The tikkun is for others. You are supposed to fast. Now, why not? This is the really off. That's not what I'm trying. I wanted to say, but I wanted to say is as follows: why Avraham Avinu go and take hold of the bris milah? Because when the shirch begins, the shirch really begins when a baby is born. The shame shnichnas the bris and yikonis the tel lechupel masam. If you would have the opportunity to take the parents of a newborn baby, 8 days old, and put them in a room and everything quiet, everything down, put away the balloons and put away all of the locks and ask them, new, maybe they gave a bracha today, Dad, shnichnas the tel lechupel. What kind of shirch do you want? Let's talk tachlis now. What do you want in a shidduch? Should the girl, how tall should the girl be? Should the girl have a PhD? Should the girl be a doctor, a lawyer? Tell me which seminary, what are your requirements? Let me hear all of the details. You make the resume. You make the resume of the girl of your dreams. What do you want? Oh, money, money. Sheker hachein vehevel ayoifi. What do you want? So, okay, let's take that and put that in a bottle. The person will respond. The parents, if they're serious, wow, they have a little baby, 8 days old, serious business. They're gonna think about it. If they were to think about it seriously, and they'll right away present what kind of shidduch they have in mind for their child. Let's take that, time capsule, bottle it. Now, fast forward 25 years. 25 years, or 20 years, whatever it is. Let's say 20 years later. They're sitting by the shatcha. Okay, they're sitting by the shatcha, and the shatcha is asking them again these exact same questions. What do you want in a shidduch? What kind of girl, what kind of seminary, what kind of this, what kind of that, what kind of this? And you'll listen, you'll record their answers. Then take out their response from their time capsule 25 years ago, and let's compare. Guarantee you, they'll be very, very different. Extremely different. Which one will be pure, and which one will have negius? The pure shidduch that they would look at, the ideal, the right shidduch that they really should want for their child will be what they said when the baby was born 8 days old, in the time capsule. What they're saying now, 25 years later, is due to social pressure, it's due to difficulty paying the bills, it's due to a lot of circumstances in life. But it's not what's ideal, because they can't, their minds, that's the way it is. Listen, everyone is like that, that's the way the world works, because your mind is clouded, your mind is contaminated with the situation, with the circumstances, with practical facts on the ground. But the ideal is what the bracha, that moment in time, that pure moment in time, k'shem shenichnas lebrisken yikonis letoru ulechub ulemasim tovim. And Avraham says, Eliezer, I got a job for you. You're going to find a shidduch for my son Yitzchak. What kind of shidduch? You know what kind of shidduch I want? V'ashpiacha b'Hashem elokei ha'shamayim, hold on to my milah. I want you to focus on bris milah. Bris milah, now he's focusing on the bris milah of himself, Avraham Avinu, that's own, but bris milah represents the concept, it's one of the mitzvahs habein al ha'av. It's a mitzvah, who has the obligation to do the bris milah for the child? It's not the baby's obligation, it's the father's obligation. Holding on to the bris milah is when I want the type of shidduch I had in mind on when he was 8 days old. By Avraham made a mishteh gadol b'yom yigomelus Yitzchak hey gemal hey gimel ches milah. That's the shidduch I want you to find. I want you to go out to find the mega shvuah, a chevsa shel mitzvah came with a lot of tzar, but the hasoga, keep it in mind. Don't be influenced with this world, the world 37 years later. It's even in the time of Avraham, things will get out of control, out of hand. What the practical reality, what's going on out in the world. My hasagis, my hashkafa for a shidduch is the moment of bris milah, k'shem shnichnas the bris, and yikonis the tel chamasim tov. That is why he told him to hold on to the bris milah. Okay, that's one idea. Let's go to another idea. Gematrials. I'm not a gematria fan. I don't tell you too many gematrials. Only once in a while. So I came across something this week. Rashi has a lot of gematrias, very famous. But here I want to show you that a gematria could completely change the whole understanding of a pasuk, in sometimes in a negative way. Now, what do I mean? Avraham Zaken, Bo Bayomim, Vahashem Beirach es Avraham Bakor. What does Rashi say? Bakol, this is Rashi. Rashi could have said a lot of things, a lot of svarim on Uldrashas, Avraham Zaken, Bo Bayomim. When we was the Rashi, Pasik Aleph and Perik Chof Dalid, the first words of Rashi. Rashi, he had unlimited source material. And what does he say? Bakol Oyla Bigimatria Bain, a son. After he has a son, he needs to marry him off. He needs to find for him a zivug. So, what is Rashi really doing? What is Rashi doing with this gematria? Avraham was zaken ba by him. Avraham has everything. Really, he has everything? According to the gematria, Avraham has nothing. What do you mean has nothing? Because he has a son. The son is the Yoresh, his spiritual heir. Everything depends on his son. But the son's a bochor. He's 37 years old. He's not married. And he's not going to get married now. He'll never get married. And what's going to be with the legacy of Avraham Avinu? It'll go down the drain. The whole thing, all of the brachas of Bris Ben Absarim will all come to an end. In other words, there's a very great danger that everything that Avraham worked for his entire life will come to a end. That's what the Gematria is telling us. Avraham Zaken, Bobayim, Hashem, Berach, Hasan, Bakol. What is Bakol? Avraham has everything you could imagine. That's a catch-all word. Bakol. But the Gematria says, you know what Bakol is? He has a single son that needs a shidduch. And if there is no shidduch, the shidduch is not going to succeed in finding a shidduch. And not only that, finding the right shidduch, you have a shidduch, but it's not the right shidduch, it's over. So the whole legacy, the whole Bakol is in danger of coming to an end. So what's going on over here? The Gematria is taking a word which Lufibshuta Shel Mikra could not be a greater bracha, more inclusive, a more encompassing expression of having everything in the world. And we're reducing it through the Gematria to Bain. A Bain over here means a single son. That's how the Gematria. The Kevin Shahayu Labain, Hayat Sarech Lahasiyai. And he needs a Shidduch. And we have to now go through the whole Pashat Chayisar to find the Shidduch. And the whole Bakol is in danger of coming to an end. Why is that so? Because what is the Gematria? Gematria reduces something into its smallest parts. What does Chazal say? Ein brocha mitzuya ela bedavar hasomui min ha'ayin. Gematria, in a certain sense, takes something which is abstract and defines the small parts. Mr. Jack Lou is now going to sign. Ein bracha mitzuya ela bedavar hasamay min ha'ayin. Here is the makar. Here is the makar. Gematria takes something and breaks it down into its smallest parts. Smallest parts, numerical value. And when you break something down into, you take something that is hidden, that's tsanua, and you expose it, you can take the greatest bracha, this is the Musa Haskil, and reduce it to nothing. Avram has everything, Bakol, I got everything. Well, what don't I have? Oh, Gematria, we're going to take everything that you have, we're going to expose it. What's a Gematria? It's just a mushel. We're going to take it into its parts. Gematria, Bakol, Gematria, Bain. Oh, you're going to break it into its number, into small parts? You're going to expose all the different parts? Oh, now when something is exposed, you don't really have everything. You really have nothing. Or really, everything that you think you have is in great, very great danger of being reduced to nothing. The Musar Haskil is, just to repeat Chazal, Ein habrocha mitzuya el lebedover hasamay minat. It's not always a mila to show off your bracha. Bracha, best bracha is where you know you have bracha. You keep the bracha to yourself. Don't make other people jealous. Don't cause other people tsar. And that's where the bakol would have remained. Pashup shat bakol. Avraham has everything. Not no danger of it being reduced. Okay, that's one. Let's go to another idea. Okay, I don't have the one in front of me, we'll just do it by pen. We learned in this parish about a new tefillah called Mincha. Vayetze Yitzchak losuach basad. He went to talk in the field. What did he do to talk in the field? He went to be mispalel. Chazal learned from this pasuk that Yitzchak Avinu was misakin tefillah. So in addition to bringing the Dan Mincha because of tefillah, the Tavish of Menabayim, we also start Mincha because Yitzchak Avinu was misakin Mincha. There's a very big problem. The problem is, it says in the Gemara Masechta Yoma, and that Chof Ches Amid Beis, on the top, towards the top of the Amud, the Gemara describes the Zmanim. When do you daven Shachris? When do you daven Mincha? And the Gemara there says, when do you daven Mincha? You daven Mincha when it gets cloudy, when the sun begins to set. And the way the Gemara refers to Tzfilas Mincha is Tzlosa de Avraham. So Gemara, Yoma, Daf Chavches, Tzlosa de Avraham. There the Mepharshim say, from the context of the Gemara, it's clear as day that we are describing the Tzfilah of Mincha. So you find the Gemara does not call Mincha, does not name Mincha after Yitzchak. Mincha is named after Avraham. Avraham is the one who gets credit for establishing the tefillah of Mincha. Now the one that asked this question is a contradiction. One of the Gemara says Yitzchak was misakin. On the other hand, the Gemara in Yoma clearly defines Mincha as the tefillah of Avraham. Slose di Avraham. It's a very, very famous sefer. This name is called Slose di Avraham. Sefer on tefillah, on Hilchos tefillah, and the Perushat tefillah. It's a very old classic sefer. Slose di Avraham. Contradiction. So the Tosfos asked this kasha in the Masechta Brachos. I have here the daf in Masechta Brachos. Give me Chabad. How do you know that?
Rashi
says. Wow. What? Vayete. It's okay. So Masechta Brachos daf Chabad. Tosfos is kasha. We have a stira. Is it Salosa de Avram or is it Vayete Yitzchak? So Tosfos says that Yitzchak he davened. But Avraham was so impressed, he liked what Yitzchak did, he repeated it. In other words, Yitzchak did not necessarily, from Tosfos, similar reading, Yitzchak didn't have a plan that it should be established for the Kol Yisrael. He had a need, he needed a shidduch, so he was mispalel. Wow, what a great idea, to daven mincha. Daven mincha, so you know what, let's make this a takana for the entire, for all our descendants, every single day we'll do what you do, we'll daven mincha. So it was Avraham who repeated, he observed Yitzchak davening, he repeated what Yitzchak did, he also davened. Mimela, Avraham also gets credit for Tzfilas Mincha. Yitzchak initiated, but Yaakov pushed it through that it should be a takana for Klal. Yitzchak initiated, Avraham followed through that it should be a takana.
Does Salusa mean sale?
What?
The
solution
means
shell. Salosa means
shell. It could mean, since Avraham was Masakin Shacharis, so by the time Shacharis, the morning is already going by.
The Gemara, from the Gemara, it's clear, it's referring to Mincha. Salos?
It could be Mincha, but that could be the time.
I don't know. There are different Zman. Now, there is a lot of discussion in what it means exactly that Avraham was Mispalel again. Some of the Mepharshim, they say, they refer to Pasuk in the Shishi. Where do you know that Avram was repeated what Yitzchak did? We learn from there's a medrash based on this pasuk that it's how did Yitzchak find his shidduch through tefillah. So when Avraham took a second wife, when he took keturah, a second wife, also it had to be through the koyach of tefillah. Avraham imitated Yitzchak. Why did Avraham get married? The medrash says because Avraham was jealous. I don't say the word jealous. He envied Yitzchak. Yitzchak's a married man, and Avraham is an almoin. I also want to be a married man, so I'm going to follow in the ways of my son. How did my son find the shidduch? Vayetze Yitzchak losuach basode. So Avraham also went out losuach basode, and through being losuach basode, he came in contact with Keturah. He married Keturah, which was Hagar. Okay, whatever it means. So it's not like it. So was Keturah Hagar? Was not Hagar? Whatever it is, but that's a more of an elaboration, a midrashic spin on Tosfos. Tosfos just says very simply, Yitzchak invented this thing called Tfilas Mincha. Avraham was impressed. And Avram repeated what Yitzhak did. Therefore, we also in Chazal give credit to Avraham, and we call Tfilas Mincha after Avraham, Tzalose de Avraham. Who now and why? So we have this another drush. How did he repeat it? Doesn't say anywhere in Ferish and Chazal repeat it. So some find the reference that when he took a wife for himself, Keturah, he also was in the process of Tfilah. And we will discuss this a couple of times. That's why the Torah brings down that some of the custom, there are really two minchas. There's a mincha that Yitzhak was misakin, and the mincha that Avram was misakin. There's mincha ketana and mincha gedola. One was Avram was one, and Yitzhak was the other. Two minchas. And that's why the Torah brings down there used to be a custom in ancient times. People would daven mincha gedola, you say tachna, mincha ketana, you don't say tachna. There used to be a minchah in ancient times that people would daven double mincha. Even if you're not mechadish b'davar, because one, there's two minchas, the mincha of Avraham and mincha of Yitzchak. It's not a big deal. We don't do this with Tanazer, but it wasn't so far fetched to daven the mincha in the honor of Avraham and Yitzchak. Now, why do I want to bring this out? Because we have now two tefillos which were established according to Chazal, at least in one version, by Avraham. There's a common theme both shachris and mincha when we focus on Avraham. When Avraham was misaking tefillah of shachris. What's the source for this? Stone. Now the source is not actually stone. The source is the day after stone. Avram Yashin Avram Aboker, and he returned. Let me go back to the pasuk in Parashas Vayera. And he returned. But before that, that's the pasuk which is afterwards. Perek. What was the pasuk? Avram Aratz Negev. Give me one sec. Pasuk Chav Zayin. Vayashkem Avraham Baboker El Hamokoyim Asher Omat Shom Es Pnei Hashem. This was the day after. Pasuk Chav Zayin was the day after Avraham was mispalel for Stom. In the beginning, Avraham was elaborate tefillah. He bein shalom. If there are 50 tzaddikim, will he destroy Stom? No. 45? No. 40? 35? 40? 30? 20? 10? No. Sorry, Avraham, I can't even find 10 tzaddikim. Too bad. Day is over. What happens the next day? The next day. Vayashkem Avraham Baboker. It's over. Stone is going to be destroyed. There's no need to daven. It's a done deal. It's already sealed. They already pushed the red button. It's finished. Vayashkem Baboker Elamokem Omat Shom Es Pnei Hashem. Nochamo. He goes back to daven a second time. He goes back to the same place where he davened yesterday. What are you davening for today? Yesterday you davened for Stone. And the answer was no. So what are you davening today? You know, it was a good experience, davening. It was a good experience. The answer was no. Flat out. No. Everything was no. But you know, just that experience to be Oymei Lefnei HaMelech was so uplifting, I want to do it again. What am I going to do it again for today? Nothing. Nothing's on the agenda today. I don't have any need to say. Today everything is good. But still, I just want to say hello to the Melech. I want to be Oymei Lefnei HaMelech. That's the makar for Tefillah Shachris. The makar for Tefillah Shachris is not when he was misfallen for stone. That was a necessity. I needed to be misfallen. The coming back and saying, what's Tefillah Smincha? It's the Zel Bazach, Tefillah Smincha. Vayetze Yitzchak Losuach Basodeh. I want something. Oh, you want something called Dream Misfallow? Yitzchak was lucky, he got it. Not like Avraham. Avraham was sitting and watching. Wow, look at this. Look at my child. He's misfallow. And he got what he wanted. Okay. I also want to daven mincha. What do you want to daven mincha for, Avraham? What do you need? Okay, now let's put aside that measure of ketur. Let's put that away. What do you need to daven Tosis? Tosis says, I just very impressed. He davened. He was Oymei Lefnei HaMelech. He needed something. I don't need anything. I already had children. I don't need this. But I just want to do what he does. Avraham was Mesakeim Tzilas Mincha. Salose de Avraham. So what do we take away from this? The two eager Tzilos of the day, Shachas and Mincha, Tzilas Ma'ariv is a Rishos. It's really a Rishos. The two eager Tzilos of the day, Shachas and Mincha, were established by Avraham. When were they established? The second round. They were not established based on the first round. They were established on the second round. Why? Because the first round is where Tachlis, where they come to daven because they want something. Avram wanted to save Sodom. Answer was no. Yitzhak wanted something. But the experience of coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so incredible, was so uplifting, they went back nochamo for second servings, even though there was nothing, there was no need. That... What? No, Avraham went back. The credit goes.
He still gets the credit.
He gets the credit for the idea. He gets the initiation. It's a partnership. But I'm focusing now on the Chazal that says the one that was Misaki and Mincha is Avraham. There's a famous Chazal that Yehitza Yitzel Suvasoda. But Tosfos is the Kasha. I'm going now with Tosfos. Tosfos Chadav Chavav says, what is going on? It says, Vayetze Yitzel Suvasoda. And yet the Gemara Misaki Yom says, the one that gets credit for Mincha is Avraham. Tzalosei the Avraham. And who gets credit for Shachris, by the way? Avraham also. What's the common denominator? The common denominator is that both of their, both times they were misspelled, it wasn't the first. It was always a second dosage. Avram was misspelled the second time for his tome, and Avram was imitated Yitzchak in the Tefillah of Mincha for no reason, just because it's a good experience. That's the Musar Haskel. That's what davening is. When you come and you daven, Tefillah is not what you want. It's just to be in the presence, to come close. Kirvas Elokim Li Toiv. It's to be in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Iker part of Tefillah. If the Iker part of Tefillah is to get, to want, to take, it's not going to work. I always tell you that with Keteris. People say that it's a craze. You say the Keteris from Klaf every single day, you're guaranteed to be bigger than Bill Gates. Multi-billionaire. Guaranteed. It doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? Because the first rule is, if you say the Keteris with the Kavana to be an usher, it's not going to work. You have to say the guitarist L'Shem Shemayim. Who can separate from their mind that I'm only buying this?
Where did they get this from?
It's brought down a lot of fun. If the kavana of saying the guitarist is if the segula is for the segula, it's guaranteed not to work. If you do L'Shem Shemayim, then there's such a thing. But that is exactly the koyach of tefillah of Avraham twice. Daven a shachris and a mincha just for the sake of davening, not for the sake of trying to acquire anything from the Shvarach. Okay, what? Marv is different. Marv comes from Yaakov Avinu. Okay, look.
You daven Marv also just for the sake of davening Marv?
Of course, of course. All tefillah. All tefillah. That's the essence of tefillah, of course.
It says, you say, Yaakov,
yeah.
Because if you said David, you'd have to say Muggin David.
And then you can do both. You can't have a double Muggin.
Right, the Muggin of David was greater than the Muggin of David.
Was greater?
Yeah, his tefillos were greater.
That's a, okay. You can't have a double Muggin. You can't have a double Muggin. This is a medrash. Hashem says it's not tested. Chazal said that David wanted to also Muggin David. Hashem said they were tested. You were not tested. I'm going to give you a test. And then he failed. Let's go to another idea. Let's go back to the parasha of Shaduchim Eliezer. Eliezer is watching Rivka serve him, bring water for him, for the camels. And after the pasuk says, let me just turn back to Parashat Chayisara, he's observing her. There's a very interesting word the Torah uses to describe his reaction. He's watching her, and she comes out. She gives him water. She draws water for the camels. Vehoish mishto'ela. The man was observing. I don't know what's a good translation of mishto'e. Was in shock.
Lingers around.
He was the word. Well, Rashi tells us the word mishto'e means that he. Let me see the targum first. Pasuk of Aleph. Vegavra shohe ba. Shohe means was waiting. He was delaying. Let's see Rashi. Pasuk of Aleph. Mishto'e, as Rashi says, lashon. No, Rashi disagrees with the targum. Lashon shi'ia kumosh shu arim tishe shemama. Next Rashi, Mishto'e, Mishto'imim u'mispahel, he was in shock. Rashi learns Mishto'e law means that he was Mishto'imim u'mispahel. Basically, he was in shock. Eliezer was watching Rivka pour him water, draw water for the camels and give them to drink.
I thought it meant that he was impressed.
No, that's what he says here, is in shock.
He was in awe.
He was in shock. Mishtoimim. Umispahel al sheroh devore karv lehatzliach. Aval eni yodea im mishpach asavra mihihi im laf. Okay, then he goes on to explain, but previously, when he gives the example of where this word comes from, he quotes a pasuk in Yeshaya. And the pasuk in Yeshaya means that cities will be destroyed, will be sho'u orim, which means that cities will be obliterated. Now let's explain. There are two types of shock. You could have shock over good news and shock over bad news. Someone tells you you won the lottery. You just won $1 billion. You'll never have to work a day in your life. You're in shock. Good news. Is it really good? I don't know. But if it's shock, there's a shock of something good. Someone got engaged. Wow. Someone had a baby. Never thought it would happen. Wow. Good news. And then there's a shock, Rachmana Litzlon, of bad news. So you would expect that when Rashi here is telling us the word Mishtoe, that over here Eliezer is observing this event unfold in front of his eyes, and he's in shock. Is he in shock, a happy shock, or is he a shock of sadness, of pain, a painful shock? So you would think, happy. Here, I have a mission to fulfill, and I'm just about ready to fulfill the mission. Mission accomplished. No, Rashi makes it very clear that Lashon Shi'iya Kmo Shak Kmo Shu'u Orim Tisha Shemoma Pasuk in Yeshaya, and Yeshaya Perik Vav Pasuk Yud Aleph, referring to a shock of Churban, bad news, desolation. What's going on? What's happening over here? So the answer is, the truth is, Eliezer was very disappointed. That's what it's telling us. Why was he disappointed? So you can say simply, we all know the Chazal, Eliezer had a daughter, and Eliezer wanted Yitzchak for his daughter. So he felt that maybe I'll go to Ur Kasdim, I will not succeed in finding a nice girl for Yitzchak, and Avram will have no choice but to take my daughter. The next best thing is to take my daughter for Yitzchak. And that would be Olam Haba. That would be what I really want. Here he sees, no, look at this. Ulai, Eli, no, I found the Shidduch. I found the Shidduch for Yitzchak. That means my daughter is not going to marry Yitzchak. I'm very upset. So he was in shock over his own churban, so to speak. His own suffering, his own loss, that he will not be able to churban with Avraham Avinu. Okay, that's why I'm shocked. And on a deeper level, the pshat is, what was Eliezer? Eliezer was the shliach. He was planning to be the big diplomat, the big savior. He was so happy. Avraham Avinu told him to make a shvuah. Eliezer, you're going to go down in history as the person who made the shidduch for Yitzchak. He's going to be a partner in Klal Yisrael. He's going to have a legacy. Because he's expecting he's going to come to Ur Kasdim. He's not going to be able to find right away a shidduch. He's going to have to persuade them and use his incredible skills, diplomacy, to convince the parents, let me take your daughter for Yitzchak, and he'll get credit for making the shidduch as the ultimate shatran at soif kol ha'olam. And what happens? He comes to the well. Before he has a chance of being mispalel, while he's in the middle of his tefillah, already Rivka appears on the scene and the shidduch is done. So Eliezer says, I didn't do anything. Me Hashem yotza hadavar. I did nothing. My legacy is out the window. Here I was on the mission of my life, like a Mission Impossible story. Right, Mission Impossible. They're going to make a movie about me, about my koichas. They're going to name buildings after me. Okay, they're going to name all the government buildings are going to be named after Eliezer because I'm the one that went and brought about the shidduch. And here, the end of the day is over. What did I accomplish? I accomplished nothing. May Hashem yotza hadavar. And there's no greater disappointment in life when you have a mission to accomplish and you're not needed. You have no tafkid in life. That's the ultimate tsar when you can't find your makom in this world. Now, why am I telling you this? Yesterday we learned about the tnoim. What are the tnoim? The tnoim is the moment when you seal the shidduch. When the chosn and kala agree, they formally agree to get married. And what do you do? When does the chosn and kala, how do they express their, they formally agree to get married? They write a document called tanoim, and they make a kinyan, and they sign it. And then that's not really the end. It's not over until what do you do? What's the gemara of the tanoim? How do you conclude the agreement that this boy will marry this girl, this man, this woman? You break minig yisrael, you break a kli cheres. So we discussed yesterday, why do we break a bichu charis? Why do we do this? So we discussed different reasons. One reason is because gim a little bit of other. There used to be a problem that people would get a little bit too merry. The celebration would get out of hand. In order to put a cap on how much we should celebrate, we do something frightening. We break a plate, something shattered, it automatically causes a person to get scared. The gilu bira oda. Rejoice with trepidation. Don't let the simcha get out of hand. Other reason is, im loyale, es yushalayim, al rosh, tishkach yimini, im loyale, es yushalayim, al rosh simchasi, it's a zeicha for the chumra of Yerushalayim. Another very beautiful interpretation I saw is, Chazal tell us that before HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he made other worlds. Hashem made many worlds. We're not the first world, according to the Medrash. There have been many worlds before us. Some learned that on this world, that's where there are dinosaurs, all the way buried deep, deep down. That before this, the 6,000 years that we're counting, Smais Liberatius, in this very Mokom, there were other worlds. Hashem, the Medrash, Hashem made worlds and destroyed them. Build wars, destroy. Hashem had no Nachas Ruach until finally he came to this world where Hashem has Nachas Ruach from this world. What is a Shidduch? A Shidduch is meant to be a Binyan Adeyat. So what we do is we reenact Hashem's worlds. Before Kadosh Baruch Hu, before you come to the Binyan Adeyat, there has to be practice. There has to be Boine Olamos Umachariban. A Kli Cheres represents a Binyan Umachariban. We reenact the Kadosh Baruch Hu's Anhaga. Hashem created worlds and he destroyed them. Until finally Hashem found the Binyan Adeyat. This Chosn Kala are going to be a Binyan Adeyat. But before you come to the Binyan Adeyat, there is the Boine Olamos Umachariban. So we take a Kli Cheres and we destroy it to fulfill this Maimer Chaza. Okay, so that's another time why we break a plate. But I want to give another reason based upon this pasuk that we've just learned. The reason why you break a Kli Cheres when the engagement is complete is you are reenacting the Ho'ish Mishto'eila. Chazal tell us every Shidduch is Siyata Deshmaya. Every Shidduch is only the Yad Hashem. The truth is, person does nothing. I once heard from someone, when it comes to a Shidduch, how do you know it's the right Shidduch, not the right Shidduch? So his response, this is what the person asked someone else. So the person responded, if it's the right Shidduch, there's nothing you can do to ruin it. And if it's the wrong Shidduch, there's nothing you can possibly do to make it go through. It'll just happen by itself. For better, either it'll go through or it won't go through. Alright, take that with a grain of salt. Okay, obviously that's not always the way we look at it in this world, but there's something definitely to it. A zivug is biyad Hashem. Come to a shidduch, finally come to the engagement party, nice fancy hall, everyone is dressed, Shabbos clothing, food, celebration, music, and now they're going to formally conclude that this boy is going to marry this girl. No, we are the shatchanim. Where is everyone? We are the people who get credit. Big thing. Chos and Kala get married. A binyan adeyat. There are probably a long line of people out the door, they usually are, that are coming to claim credit. It's only because of me. I said this, I did this, I did that. They're all coming to take credit. We get credit. This is our legacy. We made this shirach and olam haba. All of the great-great-grandchildren are going to come from this, all come from me. You know what the answer is? You take a plate, and you shatter the plate. And you shatter the plate, what happens? People are shocked. When you hear it, it's natural. Even if you're watching it happen in front of you, when you hear that crack, you've taken something expensive and it shatters. There's a natural human reaction of mishto'e. Wow, something just broke, something just shattered. It's a shock. It's not a pleasant shock. Why? You're reenacting the hergish of Eliezer. V'ho'ish mishto'eila. What do I realize? May Hashem yotza hadavar. No one here can take credit. No one here can say, this is my doing, my... And when you don't, when you feel you have no purpose, that's a very disturbing feeling. What's my tafkin in life? Eliezer's tafkin was to make the shidduch. And Eliezer says, I have no tafkin. Hashem yotza hadavar mishto'e. That's why you break the plate by the tonight. When you conclude the shirch, you are recognizing May Hashem Yotza Hadavar. No one here can take credit. You are reenacting the Ho'ish Mishto Eila. Okay, that's one idea. One more idea to conclude. And this idea, I think, is a nice idea. I once told you part of the idea, but I found a new facet to the idea which really got me excited. Avraham says to Eliezer, find the shidduch. Eliezer says, what's going to happen if I go to Ur Kasdim, your hometown, Aram Naharaim, and I find the girl, but the girl doesn't want to. I don't find the girl. No, they don't want to come. No one wants to move. It's a very big trip to go from Aram Naharaim to Eretz Canaan. What should I do? So all of a sudden, Avraham gets so worked up. Now think about it. If you are Avraham Avinu, and you're appointing a shliach, I want you to go to America. I want you to find me a shidduch. I don't want the girls here. I want a girl from America. Find me a girl in America. And the girl, and the shliach says, but I'll go to America. Let's say they say that the girl in America doesn't want to come. She's not going to go. She's not going to move to Australia. She's not coming. So what would you say? So you'll say, so give her a comeback. We'll talk about it. I don't know. You'll come up with something, some calm, gentle response. When Eliezer says to Avraham, what happens if the girl doesn't want to come? It's a normal expected question. Avraham goes, he loses himself. He goes off the charts. What does he say? Let me read you the words. Maybe what's going to happen? Simple question. Avraham says, all of a sudden he's invoking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the creator. He goes over his yichus, this history where he came from. Don't worry. What is going on? You touched his buttons. There's something that you did, you said, that totally set off Avraham. We take it for granted. We read this 100 times, so we don't read it, we don't pay attention. But Avraham Avinu is overreacting way, way too much. It's a simple question. Give him a simple answer. Don't go start talking about religion. Hashem, Elokei HaShamayim, he took me out of or Kazdim, he promised me this. What's the bottom line? Don't worry, Hashem will help you. Yishlach malachai lefonecha and will help you. That's all you had to say. I'll help you, don't worry. You always ask, someone always asks you, do me a taiva. I can't do it. Don't worry, you'll do it, don't worry. You'll have siyat shmai, do it. All of this, what's going on here? So the Teretz says, this is a very interesting answer that I saw. I don't remember where I saw this. This was one of these modern swarm today. I don't remember even if I remember. I don't remember the name of the sefer. But the idea is, Why didn't Yitzhak himself go find his own? Why did Aaron not allow Yitzhak to go find the shidduch? Why was it an issue that the girl should come to Yitzhak? Why couldn't Yitzhak go to find the shidduch and live with his new wife in Canaan? If it was so critical to Avraham that Yitzhak find a wife in Ur Kasdim, so let Yitzhak get on a camel and let him travel to Ur Kasdim, find a nice girl, and live and settle down in Ur Kasdim until he's ready to come move back to Eretz Canaan. So what are you going to answer? You're not allowed to leave Eretz Canaan because Yitzhak is an Oila Tamima. Right, that's the reason. It's an oila tamima. That's what Rashi says later on when there was a famine. Problem is, no one says that here. The only one that says that is Rabbeinu Bechaye. Rabbeinu Bechaye says the reason why Avraham did not allow Yitzchak to leave Eretz Canaan, to leave and go himself to Ur Kasdim and find a girl and live there until the time gets a little bit older, until he's ready to move back. The only one that says that because he was an oila tamima is Rabbeinu Bechaye. But Rashi doesn't say that here, and none of the other Rishonim say that, and that opens up another understanding of why Hashem, what Avraham is responsible. The idea I want to bring out, the idea given is, goes back to Parshas Lech Lecha. Avraham was living in Aram Naharaim, in Ur Kasdim. Hashem says to Avraham, Lech Lecha, Me Artzecha, Umi Moiladzecha, Mi Beis Avicha, El Oretz Asher Arecha. Leave. Here I can't make you into a great nation. The only place I can make you into a great nation, I want you to go international. I want you to go global. I want you to be over of the entire world. You can't accomplish that here in Aram Naharaim. Lech Lecha. Who was this tzivui for? So simply, it was for Avraham. Avraham left Ur Kasdim. He went to Eretz Canaan. Mission accomplished. Avraham now is a shame davar in the world. The whole world knows about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has a Yitzchak. That's it. Mission accomplished. If I want to go back to Or Kasdan, I want to live there, why not? You can live there. Oh, there's a technicality. You can't go back to Or Kasdan because you're in Tamila. Okay, that's a technical reason. If we could fix it, we can find the solution to that problem, there would be no prohibition to go back to Or Kasdan. It's not the pshat. When Hashem said to Avraham, Lech Lecha, it wasn't only a tzivui for Avraham. It was a tzivui for Yitzchak. For all of your descendants, this makom that you are coming out, that you are leaving, you come from, your roots are in Or Kasdan, I never want your descendants to ever return here. It's not just a lech lecha. It's lech lecha, you and your children, your descendants. Out. Never come back. Because coming back here, you're going backwards. You're going backwards in what I'm trying to accomplish in this world. It would send the wrong signal for yourself and for the world. Eliezer suggests, let me take, what's going to happen if the girl doesn't want to leave Or Kasdan? Could I take your son? Maybe I can take your son? Avraham responds, if you read the words of this week's parasha, Avraham is repeating kemat, word for word, parashas lech lecha. Don't you dare take my son back to Or Kasdan. Because in Parshas Lech Lecha, Hashem said to me, Lech Lecha, me'artzecha, umimoylatecha, and so on and so forth. V'sham there, in the Eretz Kanan, I'm going to make you into a great nation. That prohibition, that directive, that instruction to leave Or Kasdan, it's not just for me, it's for Yitzchak also. And it's for all my descendants. And that's why it's unacceptable to take him back. Now with this, we can understand the pasuk in Yoshua. In Sefer Yoshua, when they come into Eretz Yisrael, we'll just give you one. I'm almost finished. When we come over here to the end of this section, when finally the shidduch is made, we find that Eliezer gives Rivka three things. He gives her vayotzev and klei chesef, klei zav uvigadim. He gives her three things: gold, silver, and clothing. Why clothing? So the Mefarshim discuss this in detail, clothing, because clothing represent midos. The only reason why, one of the reasons, Rabban, the only reason why Avraham insisted on taking a shidduch from Eretz Kanan, not taking a shidduch from the taking a shidduch from Or Kasdan, was because the people of in Or Kasdan had good midos. They had problems with religion, but they had good midos. The people of Canaan had bad midos. A beged in Chazal is always a code for midos. Avram Avinu was giving her gold and silver. Okay, gold was a hava, Eretz Ahitoiva, gold, the gold of Eretz Yisrael, the silver of Eretz Yisrael, and also it represents, I'm taking you for your character. And that's why I'm giving you clothing. I'm giving you clothing from Eretz Yisrael to represent, that's why you've been selected because of your midos, and you're going to come with me. In Sefer Yoshua, Klal Yisrael finally reached the dream of Avram Avinu, the promise of Avram Avinu, Hashem, but the promise of coming into Eretz Yisrael. And what happens when they come into Eretz Yisrael? Achan takes from the spoils on their entry into Yericho, the very first city. Achan takes from the spoils. They come to Ai. It's a very good tragedy. Hashem says, Yeshua complains what happened. Hashem says to Yeshua, Chata Yisrael. Yeshua makes a goyul. He finds who's the one that took from the spoils. It was Achan. What does Yeshua say? It's Achan, confess your sin. Achan confesses, and he tells Yeshua the following. What happened? Give me just 1 second, because I had the page open, page closed. Perik Zion, I think it is. Give me 1 second. Vishamalavanim. Here it is. Perik Zion in Sefer Yoshua. He calls, finds Achan, Vayan Achan, Es Yoshua, Vayomar, Omna, Anochi Chotosti Lahashem, Elokei Yisrael, V'chazos, V'chazos Asisi. He takes on the spoils. Because of the chait, there was a danger, according to Chazal, the entire Klal Yisrael could have been wiped out. It's only because Avraham Avinu himself was mispallel when he passed Ai, that it should not be wiped out, until Allah said that they were spared. But it was a great loss of life. Achan confesses, and he tells, what did I see in Yericho? Now the question, well, what's so terrible? So there was a chayrim, you're not allowed to take from the spoils. So big deal. So he took, okay, he's a ganav, he's a bad person. The whole Klal Yisrael has to suffer because one person took a few dollars. What's going on? What's it all about? Pasuk Chaval says, I confess, the era vashalol, I saw among the spoils, aderes shinar, a cloak from the country of Bavel. In Eretz Canaan at that time, every king in the world had a summer home, a palace. There was an embassy. And Yericho, in Yericho, happened to be the embassy of the king of Bavel. Bavel is Ur Kasdim. That's where Avraham came from. And this king had a summer home, and he had in the summer home, he had some nice clothing. And every country, they wear a certain style of dress. And I saw this beautiful garment that belonged to the king of Bavel. A deres, a cloak, shinar, that's unique to the style of dress of Bavel, of Ur Kasdim, Aram Naharaim. Achas, Tova. I also saw some silver and some gold. Now we could assume if he found this aderes in the palace of the king of Bavel, who was living, had a summer home in Yericho, probably the gold and silver also came from, I have a right to assume that, doesn't say that anywhere, it's an assumption, also came from the king of Bavel. And I was overwhelmed, and I took it. The Echmedem Vo'ekochem, I took it. V'nei Tumunim Baretz. The Sechali, I'll tell you where you can go find it, and so on and so forth. Now we understand the great tragedy of Acha. Here they're finally coming into Eretz Yisrael. When did the trip to Eretz Yisrael begin? In Parshas Lech Lecha. Where is Avraham? Avraham is in Ur Kasdim, in Bavel. Hashem says to Avraham, get out of Bavel. Lech Lecha, Me'artzecha, Umimoyladecha, Umibesavicha, El Ha'oretz, Asher Areka. I'm going to take you to Eretz Yisrael. And don't ever, ever go back. Don't ever go back. And it's not just for you. It's for all of your descendants. And where do we learn that? It's not just for you, it's for all of your descendants. This week's Parsha. When Eliezer says an innocent question, what happens if the girl from Ur Kasdim doesn't want to come? Can I take Yitzchak back to the girl? And Avraham overreacts. Don't you dare. Don't you dare take my son Yitzchak back to that place. That's the place where it all started. That's the place where Hashem said to me, Lech lecha me'artzecha. That's where it starts, and we're going in the other direction. We're not going that way. We're leaving Ur Kasdim, what Ur Kasdim represents, to go to out to Eretz Canaan. Don't you dare go back. Going back would be a churban of the world. And now finally, on this momentous occasion, when Klal Yisrael finally comes into Eretz Yisrael, And what does Ochan see? Ochan, who was one member, he sees something that's shayich to Bavel, to where they all came from, and Aderesh Shinar, and some gold and silver from that country, and he takes it. That is the opposite of everything we've been trying to accomplish for the last 1,000 years. And that's why the tragedy is so great that the entire Klal Yisrael is at risk. Avraham, when he finally, Eliezer, when he finally discovers the girl for his son, for Rivka, what does he give her? He gives her clothing, begadim from Eretz Yisrael, kesef v'zav from Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, and not from Ur Kasdim. You're living in Ur Kasdim, and you're coming to me to get the begadim, and my kesef and my zav, which what it represents. We're leaving, we're abandoning the clothing of our custom and the kesef is off. I'm giving you vayoytze ho'eved klei chesef klei zav ubegodim. When they come into Eretz Yisrael, they finally reach Canaan, and now you're looking to chap the klei kesef and the klei zav and the aderesh shinar, the begodim of Bavel. This is a churban she'en kamohu. Because this is the opposite of what Klal Yisrael was trying to accomplish, the promise to the Avos to leave Ur Kasdim and to go into Eretz Yisrael. This idea, it's really emphasized very much here in the Shidduch of Yitzchak. Yitzchak is not allowed to return because the bracha and the mitzvah of Lech Lecha is not just for Avraham, it's for Yitzchak as well, and the begodim, the kesef and zav correspond to the Aderesh Shinar and the Klei Chesef and Klei Zav in Sefer Yoshua. Have a wonderful Shabbos.